Skull Rock Podcast, talking all things Disney with your hosts, Aljon Goh and Dave Bossert.
Do you just love to learn more about the magic that embodies animated films, theme park attractions, and more? The all-encompassing universe created and produced by the genius of Walt Disney has spanned nearly 100 years and counting.
From his earliest film endeavors with the Laugh-O-Gram cartoons and the Alice comedies, to the creation of Mickey Mouse, to the first animated feature film, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and then dreaming up Disneyland, Walt Disney continuously raised the creative bar, and today his company has carried on that tradition as a global entertainment juggernaut. I'm Dave Bossert, artist, filmmaker, and author.
And I'm Aljon Goh, musician, podcaster, and radio guy. Every week, Dave and I will explore the entertainment galaxy that is Disney with insightful conversation, stories, and special guests talking all things Disney.
Listen to never-before-heard stories and behind-the-scenes moments from some of your favorite Disney films, theme park attractions, performances, books, music, and so much more from knowledgeable, insightful, and thought-provoking hosts and guests. Hear the latest news about Disney past, present, and future.
Skull Rock Podcast is your go-to source for the magic we all love. Skull Rock Podcast. Visit skullrockpodcast.com.
For this kind of starts out like Soarin', but then really mellows out like the end of Soarin', or the end of Living with the Land. Anyway, welcome back to another edition of the Disney List, our penultimate show. And in this show, Kristen, what are we going to be talking about?
Our favorite Walt Disney World things.
I love it. I love it. And that could be a lot of different things, from food to attractions to who knows what else we're going to cover.
It could even be a favorite restroom.
A favorite restroom?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it could be. All right. Well, having said that, gang, we've got our favorite travel deal. It just came across the radar. Kristen, how can people save money on their next Disney trip?
Well, right now, you can save up to $700 on a two-night stay when combined with select Walt Disney World Galactic Star Cruiser voyages.
What? Seriously? Okay.
Go ahead. So it's going to be for voyages from February 5th through October 2nd of 2023. So you have several months.
Whoa.
That you can save on a two-night stay. So before, maybe you couldn't afford it, but maybe the saving up to $700... they make it affordable for you.
Certainly. Well, that is great. Well, having said that, Kristen, where can people email you to take advantage of this galactic deal?
ThemeParksandCruises@gmail.com.
The following is a production of the Sorcerer Radio Network.
An imagination, huh?
Are you guys ready?
Are you ready?
From the Gator Framework Studio in Music City, it's the Disney List. The Disney List. Disney fans Kristen Hetzel and Aljon Goh bring you top 10 lists from the Disney parks, films, Star Wars, Marvel, news, travel tips, and more. Now prepare yourself for the Disney List.
Disney List brought to you by good friends at Shore.com, S-H-U-R-E.com, as well as Gator Framework Studio and Kingdom Strollers. It's your co-host, Aljon Goh, lifelong Disney, Marvel, Star Wars, and pop culturist, joined by
Kristen, theme park enthusiast, Disney foodie, and travel expert.
Love it. Welcome to the penultimate edition of the Disney List. Hope you're loving the show. Thank you for riding as a ride or die for all these years. And as announced on our last show, the podcast is taking an extended hiatus.
There you go.
Oh my. But we're on an extended hiatus, and that just means that we're taking a little pause for the podcast, but we are going to continue to post on social media, and who knows? I think that soon after this, we're going to be posting some really cool stuff on Reels and different things like that regarding lists and things. It's just one of those things where, you know, having children now, which, by the way, I can't wait. The last show, we're gonna talk about reflections and everything, but, you know, we've gone through all this time period preparing for family, and now that we have one, we have been foster parents throughout the pandemic, and here we are, you know, actual parents. It's just a crazy feeling. It's a lot of work, and, you know, we were talking about how a lot of podcasters happen when they have families and things like that. They have to kind of cut back a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of where we're at right now. But we'll still be doing Dining at Disney. You know, you and I do Dining at Disney every week, along with Cat and Bubba, and a couple times a week. And it's really cool. And you're going to hear Dining at Disney on Sorcerer Radio in our Disney List slot, which is really neat. So we're not going away. And I'm going to continue to do Skull Rock podcast with Dave Bossert, which is great because every week we've got these interviews and things. But, you know, something's got to give. And Disney List will kind of morph and change like a butterfly, won't it? Which is kind of neat. But anyway, gang, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Before we get into our favorite Walt Disney World things, and this is a little bit more of a wider list. You know, we have talked about our top 10 favorite attractions, top 10 favorite eateries, and different things like that. So this is just going to be a spattering of Kristen's 10 and my 10 things that we just kind of gravitate toward. It's kind of like a moth to a flame. We kind of have to, you know, every time we do this, we got to do it. So it's kind of a must-do list, if you will. But this is our list of favorite Walt Disney World things from Kristen and Al John. Hope you enjoy that. So now we're going to talk a little bit about the news that's going on. And I think we should just go ahead and...
I'm Al John.
Ooh, I was going to say, let's fire up the news. And then I realize I'm not on the right, page for the news.
Oops.
Am I?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
No,
what the heck happened? Oh, okay. I see what happened now. There we go. It's got to happen at least once during a show where I hit the wrong sound effect, right?
It happens.
It's what happens when you host too many podcasts, right? What page am I on? What page?
So the which podcast am I doing?
Yeah, which podcast am I doing? I don't know. Oh, let's just listen to that. That new sounder's kind of neat, isn't it? It's kind of like Dateline Orlando. That's what we're doing. So, I don't know. I mean, it kind of goes back to the whole thing about Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. I just wanted to bring this up. You know, you talked about at the top of the show the new travel deal, and I guess they've reached the point where they really need to reevaluate how they're pricing the Star Wars Galactic Voyage. Cause they're doing a tremendous deal, and it looks like some cast members are being laid off.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And they're not filling all of their cabins for these Galactic Voyages. You know, it might just be too expensive, don't you think?
I think it is, and at that price, I'm sure there's a lot of people that would love to do this, but the price tag is so high that it eliminates a lot of people from, you know, getting to experience this, and it's going to be interesting to see what they end up having to cut out from this experience in order to make it affordable. And do people then find it even worth it?
Less than.
You know, yeah. Like, is it one of those things where Disney went, I guess it's, we're going to need to close this up and decide what we need to do with this building now. I mean, it's something that's very expensive. And that was one of the things I said when they started this is, how long can you sustain that for? Yeah. I guess we know.
Now we know. Well, everybody that wanted to go had already gone, you know? So who knows? We'll just have to keep people, you know, on our different podcasts, kind of keep people up to date regarding the Galactic Star Cruiser. I like the immersive experience. I like the fact that it's set in the Star Wars universe, albeit they really, I'm going to say this once again, they really doubled down on this whole sequel trilogy with, you know, Rey and Finn and everybody. And not to disparage that, but the real money is in Luke Skywalker's era. The real money is there, because guess who you want to see? The most popular, who is the most popular character in all of Star Wars? All of Star Wars. Who is it?
Darth Vader?
Darth Vader. 100%. Right? He is the big baddie. He, you know, between Darth Vader, Han Solo, Luke, and Leia, like, that is it right there. That's your franchise. Those are your franchise players there. And you put them on the bench, you know, to have people experience what it's like with, you know, Rey and Kylo Ren, really. Like, you know, they thought they were going to, the box office says it all, right? At least Avatar, the new movie, is doing so well that they have breathed life into the Avatar franchise. Apparently Dave on Skull Rock Podcast gave it a huge thumbs up. Huh. Like, he said it was better than the first one. And the first one, he was like, this one, he goes, I'm ready for more. I'm like, wow. But anyway, yeah, we'll see what's going on.
You know what I wish Disney would do?
What's that?
Buy out Universal's stake in having Marvel in the parks.
Oh.
And do something with Marvel. There's just so many characters and so many worlds that I just think there's so much you could do with that.
Oh, absolutely. Speaking of characters and worlds,
our people are scattered like stars in the galaxy. What are we? What do we stand for?
Don't you love that? It's like the old West. You know, you hear I was just talking to Dave about this. It's like the old West. You hear the sounding horn, and you can hear the spurs in the background, the OK Corral, and the old country, showdown. The Mandalorian season 3 trailer dropped, and about a couple of days have gone by. It's nearly 4 million people. I'm sorry, nearly 6 million people have viewed this trailer. It's amazing, this trailer. The Mandalorian heads back to Mandalore. It returns on Disney Plus March 1st, the third season. Unbelievable. The journeys of the Mandalorian through the Star Wars galaxy continue. Once a lone bounty hunter, Din Djarin has reunited with Grogu, a.k.a. Baby Yoda. Meanwhile, the New Republic struggles to lead the galaxy from its dark history. The Mandalorian will cross paths with old allies and make new enemies as he and Grogu continue their journey together. I like it. And I love all the different colors of the Mandalorian outfits. Don't you like that? All the armor colors?
Yeah.
Pretty neat, right? So looking forward to that here in March. Another thing we are looking forward to is the fact of, you were talking about Marvel. A really great segue to that would be Wakanda Forever back in theaters, which is great for people to experience this movie if you didn't already do that. Black History Month, of course, taking off here in February. But check it out. Another opportunity to see it. Plus, it is coming to Disney Plus on February 1st. So this is a really cool thing for you to kind of experience it. We really enjoyed Wakanda Forever. And it's kind of an unsurmountable task. You know, Ryan Coogler, director, writer of that film, when you consider the fact that its lead actor, Chadwick Boseman, who played T'Challa, the Black Panther, in the previous, you know, Marvel films, had passed away. How do you really cope with that? I mean, that's a pretty big thing, you know, to have your leading character pass away, an actor pass away. But I thought, all things considered, they did a really good job of telling the story in this film, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, you'll get to see that here, streaming or in theaters in February. Pretty neat. So Kristen, Dining at Disney, talked a little bit about this over the past week. New additions coming to Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival starting in March. And what do you think about some of these things? You want to go over some of them?
Sure.
Okay.
This will take place starting March 1st. There are going to be some new topiaries that you'll be able to check out. Some of them include Mirabelle, Antonio, Isabella, and Luisa from Disney's Encanto. I don't know why I had to do that. Any which way.
Because we watch Encanto a lot with our children.
Yes. Yeah. And if anybody noticed, there was no Bruno. No.
But
there will be new Princess Tiana topiary that's going to be in the American Adventure. Returning ones include favorites such as Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Peter Pan and Tinkerbell, Captain Hook and TikTok, Figment, because you got to have Figment.
Sure.
Anna and Elsa. Garden Rocks concert series is also coming back.
Ooh.
It'll be interesting to see what lineup there's going to be for that. If you're there for the food kitchens like I am, the outdoor kitchens, there will be more than 15 this year.
Ooh, that's a lot.
The Citrus Blossom is one of them that will be, it'll have a new location this year over at the Odyssey.
Nice.
And then one thing I'm excited about is the Orange Bird merchandise they're going to have.
Yes, do tell.
This year it's going to be 70s inspired.
Yeah, I love the retro merch. Keep it coming, Disney. I love it.
And then they're also going to be doing the Spikes pollination exploration. So it's that little scavenger hunt that you can do.
I like that. That's nice.
I like the little Spike the Bee.
Yeah, Spike the Bee's good. I mean, their little mascots are just amazing. I love their mascots.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'm ready for this to come back.
It's going to be great. You know, the fact that they're doing this from March to what, July?
It says July.
Yeah, it's from July 5th.
Yeah.
I mean, that is huge. That is such a long time. So there's an ample opportunity for people to check out everything going on over there at the Flower and Garden. And then to boot, you know, the Garden Rocks concert series is going to be great. And I'm sure we're going to be talking about this on Dining at Disney when the schedule of bands and performers come out, which is cool.
I'm glad they changed the name, you know, a few years ago from Flower Power Concert Series.
Well, they really needed to kind of do that because a lot of the Flower Power acts are unfortunately no longer with us. You know, it broadens the horizons. They can get more entertainment, you know, which is good. Okay. Now, did you know about this? You know, the Tron roller coaster, the Light Cycle Run, is opening April 4th this year. So it's just right around the corner. But to boot, did you realize that they're working on a brand new Tron film? It's coming back around. Deadline reported that Tron Ares is a go over at Disney. It's a sequel to Tron Legacy. And it looks like one of our favorite actors, Jared Leto, is going to star in this film. Let's hope that it's as good or better than Tron Legacy.
I was going to say, I sure hope it's better than Morbius that he was in.
Oh, it's got to be better than Morbius. Anyway, Joachim Rønning is reportedly directing the film, who also worked on Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man Tell No Tales, and Maleficent, Mistress of Evil. Tron Ares will be filming in Vancouver this August. So that's exciting, right?
Yes.
It's been a long time, but, you know, Tron Legacy came out in 2010.
It's really been that long.
Yeah, 2010. Wow. It's been a long time. I mean, it's still, for me, I think it holds up, but I remember Disney was hoping that they were going to be doing so much with Tron at that time. And I don't know if it was just the timing or whatever it was about Tron. People just weren't ready for it. But hopefully now people will be ready for it, right? So here's something we really kind of haven't talked about was the fact that we did a Capture Your Moment session. And we did that here in the fall. And did you like it? Because I thought it was worth it for the experience of having a photo session with our kids during that time, which was really cool. But I think it's important to note that there are some really cool things to do for this. And Disney released their top five tips for great photos during the Disney Parks Capture Your Moment session, which is cool. So if you haven't done it, you pay an additional fee on top of, you know, for this particular experience. It's a 20-minute personalized photo shoot with some really cool backdrops from the Disney parks. Of course, they do this while the park is operational.
Yes.
So that's something to keep in mind because they do their very best to take people out of the shot for certain things.
Well, and the pictures, like, in order to be able to get all of your pictures, you need to have PhotoPass.
Right. So go ahead and do that. So when picturing, number one, ask about available photo locations. So you could do backdrops like Cinderella Castle or Tree of Life. We did ours at Epcot's Germany Pavilion, which has a lot of really neat things on it. And they were able to frame Spaceship Earth in some photos. They were able to frame the pavilion and walking down the pavilion. And it was really cool because it was early enough that a lot of people hadn't even walked through the park because it was during park open hours, but World Showcase had just opened, right?
Yeah.
So it was pretty neat to do that. Really pretty photos. They should have asked our family to post ours. So some great locations that they suggest are over there at Discovery Island over at Disney's Animal Kingdom. So you could get Africa, Asia, Dino Land, USA, and the Tree of Life trails. You could do that. Kristen, how about these other locations?
Over at Hollywood Studios near the entrance of the park, including Hollywood Boulevard, Sunset Boulevard, Hollywood Tower Hotel, Echo Lake. Then over at Epcot, the select World Showcase pavilions include Germany, Italy, American Adventure, Japan, and Morocco. And at Magic Kingdom, it's around Cinderella's Castle, so including Main Street and all four sides of Cinderella's Castle.
There you go. Number two on that their particular list is to make sure you arrive on time. So we checked in 10 minutes before the start time so they can kind of get things set up and make sure you're good. Sessions can't be extended due to late arrival, so that's really important. It really starts eating into your time, and you don't have a lot of time, so make the best use out of it. So here is where you're supposed to go when you book this. You're supposed to go to Disney's Animal Kingdom, if you're doing it there, over there at the kiosk located out of Island Mercantile. If you're at Hollywood Studios, you go to Sid's One of a Kind. There you go. That's where you go. And then over there at Epcot, over there at the podium outside the Art of Disney over at the American Adventure Pavilion. So keep in mind, they say it's a 20-minute walk from the main entrance of the park. So
if
get
you're
there.
Walking fast and nobody's in your way.
If you're walking fast and no one's in your way, that's right.
So I, for that one, I say plan on aim to be there in the area a good 20 minutes before your start time.
There you go.
Because chances are It's going to take you longer than you think to get there.
Oh, 100%. And then over there at Box Office Gifts over at Town Square in Magic Kingdom is where you go. Chris, you want to take this one? Because this was a lot of fun.
Yes, have fun with props. They have special props that they can use in your different photos. So it may be something like a giant first time button that you get to hold. They also have the little signs where they put the letters on them and it can say different things depending on what you are celebrating. You know, maybe that's how you want to do an announcement for, you know,
an engagement,
an engagement or a birth.
Oh,
if you're
going
to be new parents and you find out, you know, instead of doing a typical reveal party, maybe you send out
the reveal party. Yeah, exactly. Or if you're getting engaged. I noticed that someone kind of did a proposal right there on the spot. So they did proposal photo, which was really neat. So, you know, and it's great to get like the whole family together, you know, to do this. We did it with our kiddos. And I tell you, the cast member photographers, the photo pass team was amazing with our kids.
They got some really cute.
They got some great shots with the kids, candid moments, which are really neat. And it's great. And these guys are pros. They what they're doing. They're really capturing the moment as the experience notes, and they are really kind of pushing the foreground back. You're definitely the focus, but you know where you are. It's kind of cool, you know, when you have things in front of the theater, there in front of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, or on Main Street, or wherever you go. It's pretty neat. So I love it. Don't forget, you need to call in advance and select those different areas too, 407-939-7758, so they can make a note. If it's a surprise, especially, you could surprise your family or your loved one to do that. That's pretty neat, right?
Yes.
Okay. Important note that clothing that drags on the ground is prohibited in the parks. So if you do it, so let's say you're doing something like over Galaxy's Edge doing a photo shoot, you can't cosplay. You can't be like dressed up in complete Star Wars battle armor, right? You don't show up looking like the Mandalorian with your helmet, because you're not going to be able to do that. But you can do kind of Disney bounding, so you could kind of have a look that is derivative but not exactly like the Star Wars characters, right? Here we go, Kristen.
Don't give up on finding an opening. So if you look, reservations, they open up 60 days in advance. So if you look and it's completely booked up, keep looking, because you never know when somebody may decide to cancel. And then you've got that spot.
Exactly. Exactly. Make it happen. And then last but not least, know how to download your photos. So those who have Memory Maker or Memory Maker One Day or a Walt Disney Annual Pass like we do, you can download those add-ons, capture your moment photos at no extra cost, are available for download, and you can make all kinds of really cool holiday cards if you want, seasonal cards.
Because your photos are not included in the price of the session. It is an additional cost.
Right. Exactly. No matter how you download your photos, be sure you do so before they expire. So you want to make sure you got all your photos and keep them. Keep them. Make sure you get the highest resolution on those as well. So there you go. I love it. So just some tips and tricks for you. Last but not least, on our news segment, you go behind the scenes of how Disney recycles holiday gingerbread displays. Did you know about this, Kristen?
No.
So recently, Parks Blog had released what they do with all of that gingerbread. As the season ends, you know, people are wondering what happens to all those 17-foot-tall gingerbread castles. Is it disassembled? What's going on with that? So what they do is each year they remove all the edible items, place them in food waste bins, and then send out for composting. All right? And then they do this thing where they take out the wooden frames and they go out there and they go to a tree form. That's where the pollinator pals, the bees, come in. They feed off the frosting left on the frames. All right. And then they give them a little bit of a energy boost before they fly to other pollinator pursuits, leading to honey making. After the bees buzz off their way, the wooden structures are hot washed to clean to remove any remaining sugar and then put into storage to reuse the next holiday season. How is that? That is so cool, isn't it?
So they decide to use the bees as their cleaners.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good way. You don't waste it. You give the bees, you know, the fuel they need, those painted frames anyway. I mean, they're going to be washed off. So there you go. The bees go in there, they have at it, and then they use that, and then they pollinate, and then there you go. It's pretty neat how they do it.
Your honey could contain some of the Walt Disney World gingerbread display.
Exactly. So there you go. I thought that was fascinating. What a great look behind the scenes over there at Disney. So I love that story. It's great, great stuff. So anyway, onwards to our big list.
It's the Disney list. Top 10. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
So on our big list for this week, all things Walt Disney World. This is our favorite stuff to do. It could be attractions. It could be food. It could be, as Kristen mentioned, a restroom. I don't know why she mentioned that. Very strange.
I don't know. Some people think that the Rapunzel restrooms are amazing. And so maybe that's on somebody's list.
Well, it is.
Maybe that's one of their favorites.
That they do every single time?
Well, it's not do. You said a favorite Walt Disney World thing.
It's our favorite Walt Disney World things. Okay, so let's get started on your side. And then I've got 10, you've got 10. Let's go ahead and start. Kristen?
I am going to start with riding the Haunted Mansion at Magic Kingdom.
I love this one. Why is it on this list?
I don't know. This attraction just has been a long time favorite of mine, this and Pirates of the Caribbean. And they're always ones that I have to ride. And I just really enjoy all the small details that are in this particular attraction, especially once you get up to like the attic scene. There's always new things you can be looking for in the Haunted Mansion.
I agree. I love it. A lot of these things that are on our list are things that we share and do together, and I definitely love going to Haunted Mansion every single time because it's just a classic attraction. It feels very Disney to me. I don't know why. I just have a connection to that ride. You and I both love kind of the horror aspect of it because we're horror movie fans, and ghosts and you know, all kinds of that supernatural stuff. That's really fun for us. So we love it. Plus, the music's amazing. Everything about it, the atmosphere is great. You go into a dark ride, the lighting, it's just great. So, one thing on my list is the Dole Whip. And I think you and I always make it a point to go over there to the Enchanted Tiki Room, head over there, and then get a Dole Whip over there at Aloha Isle. And it's just one of those things that we must do because we don't readily have Dole Whip here.
Now that there are like a zillion flavors of Dole Whips out there, do you have a favorite flavor now outside the original?
You know, I've always been a fan of just the regular Dole Whip, or a swirl is my next favorite, which is kind of the orange and pineapple swirl. But I do like they have the lime now. So the lime and pineapple's actually pretty dope when it's swirled together. But I've always been a fan of having two flavors swirled together.
I like the coconut.
Oh, yeah. Coconut's good.
Next time we have to try the watermelon. That's when we have not tried.
Yeah, we haven't tried the watermelon. We're going to have to do that next time. Okay, Kristen.
Next on my list is going to be staying and or visiting Coronado Springs Resort. This is a longtime favorite of ours. And I just love this resort. And the addition of Destino Tower brings a whole new aspect to that resort and new restaurants and lounges to enjoy as well.
I love it. Coronado Springs is probably my favorite resort because just the ambiance of it, the fact that it's very quiet and serene. I love the theming of it, the kind of bridges over the water, and then the little sandy kind of, you know, island, you know, kind of areas that you have across the entire resort. It's just really neat and relaxing to me. I really dig it. I feel like I'm really on vacation. And even though the theming is, you know, slightly different than one would expect, you know, it's not Disney in your face, perhaps, all the time, like Pop Century Resort.
Yeah.
Like a lot of those resorts. But it's very cool. So I really dig it. And it means a lot to Disney fans because of the whole, you know, with Coronado Springs and that flair for that area, and with Destino, just it's really neat. Anyway, my next thing is a cinnamon bun.
Where?
At Gaston's.
Okay.
And it's just every time we go, I feel like I got to have it. This last time, I said, we've got to just go over there. You always get LeFou's Brew.
Yes.
And I always get the big cinnamon bun and share it with you. It's just something that I got to have every
now,
time.
Now, the LeFou's Brew,
yes.
It has to have the extra pump of marshmallow.
Yes.
Otherwise,
ask
it tastes it. Too much like apple juice.
I ask
like
for
apple
it.
Juice.
Ask for it. You got to have the marshmallow flavoring. Okay.
Okay, next on my list is the Germany Pavilion at Epcot. Anybody who's listened to this show for a while is not surprised that the Germany Pavilion is on my list because, I mean, I'm of German ancestry and I like the pavilion, and you've got the beer garden and liter beers,
yes,
and giant pretzels as big as your head. And then you have caramel corn and, yeah, there's nothing not good about it.
I love celebrating Oktoberfest all year long over there at Germany Pavilion. And that's a wondrous thing about it. And I can say that over the years, I've really grown to like the Beer Garden restaurant. It's just great. Ever since the changeover, looking back at all of our Disney trips over the course of two decades, right, I can tell you that I was not enamored with the Beer Garden restaurant when we first went there the first several times. But when they turned it over, it's just been great ever since. I don't know. It's just, I guess, Chef Jens really did a good job of turning over that restrant probably 5-6 years ago now, right?
More like 10
no,
years
10
ago.
Years ago. Oh, my goodness. But it's just maintained its level of awesomeness throughout that time. And looking forward to our next trip to check that out. Speaking of things that have kind of maintained its consistency would be Raglan Road. Now, even though Chef Dundon is no longer there, which is a shame, Raglan Road has continued to be a very great place for us over there at Disney Springs. Food is very consistent, yummy. The beer, the wait staff, the entertainment has always been top-notch. I feel like they haven't let the place go down in terms of service or atmosphere. The bar, all the furniture is very well kept. But
they need to bring back. It's not bleeding chowder.
You know, that was Chef Dundon's thing right there. Right?
I loved that.
But I like to get the bangers and mash. It's always great there. Dalkey Duo, those are great things to have there. They also have an amazing hamburger there. And it is just, it's wonderful. I think it's a Kobe beef burger or something like that. But once again, Raglan Road, a great place to take the family to experience something close to Ireland, especially when they have the performers, the musicians there that are great, as well as the dancers. Oh my gosh, the dancers are great.
Next on my list is Main Street Shopping. That's one of my favorite places to go shopping because it has consistently pretty much stayed the same. Now, what they sell changes, of course, but the look and feel of Main Street has remained consistent from my very first trip to Walt Disney World. And so I still enjoy that. I also love the smell of the cotton candy at the confectionery. That makes me very happy. And yes, I just really enjoy walking through all of the many stores and food options on Main Street.
When you get to the Magic Kingdom and you go underneath the train station and the reveal is there, you're Main Street USA, that's the best feeling, isn't it?
Yes.
It's like, I have made it. I feel good. I can relive that moment in my head all the time. It's kind of my happy place.
It's so, like, finally, after all this transportation to get here, I'm finally here.
I know, right? I'm finally here. I've made it. The sights and smells are great, but I love going shopping down Main Street, too. It's so much fun. And along with that, I will say shopping for tees, graphic tees is kind of my thing. You know, I went to work the other day, and one of the executive assistants go, you know, Aljon, you're all about the graphic tees. You're always wearing different graphic tees every time you come into work. You know, we're very casual where I work because we're a rock and roll company. So it's really neat that I can wear graphic tees into the office. But that's what I love doing. Because every time you go to a Disney park, they always have amazing graphics. And it's great to sport the stuff that you love, where you're geekdom out and about. And I know you like to do that too, Kristen. And it's really great. So no matter what store it is, it can be over there in Main Street. It could be over at Epcot. Every one of those big stores that they have there on their quote unquote Main Street as you walk through the park. My favorite places to go just to look for those awesome tees. And also at Disney Springs.
Yes.
They have so many great stores there. And it's got to be that night, lightweight, nice, comfy. And a lot, I like the fact that Disney's kind of pretty much morphed from kind of the beefy Hanes tees that were like the thick cotton to like the more comfortable 100% soft. I love the soft, good shirts.
Yeah, they're lighter weight, yeah, because you're not going to sweat to death in it.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's so much better now than it was 20 years ago. I will say that.
So next on mine, I'm headed over to Animal Kingdom, and I'm going with Nomad Lounge outside of Tiffin's. It is a great place to kind of get off the beaten path, enjoy a drink, enjoy an appetizer, do some people watching, or just chilling back, relaxing. That's one of my favorite places to go to just kind of get away from the hustle and bustle going on in the parks with all the people.
100%.
And everything's good.
I like it. I like seating outside and having a beverage. They have great food there too. So love it. So I'm with you on that. I'm going for the immersive and going to Galaxy's Edge. Everyone knows by listening to the show, if you're a longtime listener, know how much I love Star Wars. And I feel like when I'm there, I just get immersed into this galaxy and the theming. And I love it. I love going there. I don't even necessarily have to ride the rides. I just want to walk through it. And it's designed in such a way that every corner you could get lost. Like, it's easy to get lost in Galaxy's Edge, is it not? It's deceivingly large for how small the actual attraction, like the footprint of Galaxy's Edge is, because I feel like you could get lost there. It's just one of those things. It's designed that way for a reason. It's amazing how they do that. They trick you Krista, they trick you.
They trick you into getting lost. I said, well, it's not too hard for you because you don't really have a very good sense of direction either. So,
well, I mean.
So you could be lost in there all day.
I guess. I love to go shopping there too, and the attractions are great. Regardless of whether or not you like the time period in which Galaxy's Edge takes place, I think you can kind of suspend your disbelief and kind of go from one place to another and go, this is Star Wars. I like it. Very cool.
Next on my list is the bread service at Sanaa. I love Sanaa. It's one of my favorite places to eat at. And since it is located at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, you have a view of the wildlife outside. But the bread service is where it's at. You have 9 different accompaniments from mild to spicy to enjoy with your breads. And it's just delicious. I enjoy it so much that I had to buy the accompaniment board that came with the recipes for it. Not that I've made it yet, but I feel like I have to have people come over to the house and send everybody a recipe and go, okay, this is what you're bringing. We're doing bread and drinks.
It's kind of, I mean, that's one of our must do's. It's a big thing for us. Another big thing for us is beer flights. I'm jumping ahead. So beer flights at Epcot is definitely a thing. We go during a lot of the festivals, but beer or wine flights is definitely a must because you want to sample a lot of different flavors. You want to enjoy drinks from around the world, and there's no better place than to do it at the pavilions at Epcot, or if you're going through a festival time period, going to one of those marketplaces and having a beer or wine flight. Experience and taste the world. That's what I say. Or drink the world, I should say.
Over at Magic Kingdom, one of my other favorite rides is Big Thunder Mountain. I love it to ride it, especially as it starts getting later in the day and the sun starts to go down.
Ooh, yeah.
Because that ride is different in the daytime than it is during dusk, as it is once it gets dark. So I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun.
As we talk about these, I get visuals and memories start coming back to me about how cool these things are. And I hope you get a sense of that too while you're listening to this show, because there is nothing like when the sun starts going down and riding these attractions outside, like Astro Orbiter or something like that, where it's just so, so pretty at night, or, you know, going to see the Yeti over there.
Oh, yes.
And Expedition Everest is pretty, pretty massive too. I love that. Another thing that we like to do together, you mentioned Haunted Mansion as a must-do. Well, this is another one. It's Pirates of the Caribbean over there in Magic Kingdom. Once again, it's 100% Disney. And I go all the way back to when I was an 8-year-old going to Disneyland for the first time. This really cemented my love for Disney in so many different ways. It really sparked my imagination. I thought it was super cool that, you know, these pirates, you know, were coming to life, and all the backdrops were massive in my 8-year-old mind, you know, going to see the city being pillaged and all that stuff happening, and then seeing the big pirate ships and seeing the cannons blasting back and forth. I thought it was amazing. And then to see it as an adult also still is one of the best things for me. Just a well-designed boat ride. Love Pirates of the Caribbean.
Sticking with Magic Kingdom, I am going to say taking the monorail from Magic Kingdom to the nearby resorts, especially in the middle of the day when the park is busy, it is hot, you know, kids are starting to have meltdowns. And so pre-kids, we used to do that quite a bit, to hop over to one of the bars, grab a drink, relax, cool down, and then hop back on the monorail and go back over to the park and enjoy more attractions.
I love it. The monorails are iconic and wonderful. This is a relatively new thing, and I think it might surprise a lot of people. It might surprise you, Kristen, but I really enjoy Slinky Dog over at Toy Story over at Hollywood Studios. Really enjoy it. It is also, you know, it's a mild coaster. It's really fun, but at night, it just glows. It's so much fun to see the colors and the lights at night, and I think it's definitely one that I enjoy doing every single time we go now that it's open.
One other thing I enjoy doing, because we're down to the last two on our list, and this one is a very broad, actually my last two are very broad ones, and it's Disney Springs.
Right.
And it's because there's so much stuff at Disney Springs. You can catch live acts performing outside. You have all kinds of different places to eat and drink and snack, whatever it is you want to do.
Okay.
Shopping from mall-type store shopping like Columbia and Sephora to Disney unique shopping like the Christmas store or Disney style or trendy, all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
It's just so many different things. I can spend an entire day there, morning to night, just enjoying all of it.
I love it.
And it's a very relaxing environment when you're there during the day.
Yeah, I agree. Before I agree with that. Before it gets busy. Although I have to say at night, it does shine differently because you have the entertainment that comes out and it's a lot of fun to get that kind of nighttime energy. But, you know, I like to kind of unwind and sometimes it's really cool at night to find a place to camp out and watch the entertainment or, you know.
There's so many good restaurants. You have everything from
bars
like Raglan Road to Paddlefish to Haleo. And then if you're looking for drinks, you can go to Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar or swing by the bar over at Homecoming. No matter what kind of food you are looking for, there's something for everybody in your family there.
I agree. God, I just love Disney Springs. It's so much fun. I never thought I'd say that after Downtown Disney kind of, you know, had that Pleasure Island, because I loved Pleasure Island a lot. And what you see, this is how far back we're going. We're going really way back there. We had a lot of good fun at Pleasure Island back in the day.
Yeah.
Okay. You see what we're doing? This is like a retrospective. It's kind of neat, you know, being that it's our second to last podcast for a while. So here we are. Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. This is probably, we've done Christmas at the parks. We've done the festivals at Epcot. We've done, back in the day, we used to do Star Wars weekends, which was amazing as we look back on everything that we used to love doing. But Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party is kind of like one of our favorite things to do of all time because we love Halloween time. We love the way the park looks at Magic Kingdom when they dress it up with all the Halloween decorations. But we love this hard ticket extra event because of the parades, the fireworks, you know, the fact that people go trick-or-treating, but all the characters that come out that normally don't come out.
Well, then you have characters in Halloween costumes.
Oh, yeah, you have characters in Halloween, of course. Of course. So many great things that are special about it that I like to revisit in my mind and look forward to when the kids grow up is doing Mickey's Not So Scary. So
last on my list is the Epcot festivals, because each of them now has food. It has become, you know, Walt Disney World's thing is let's make everything at Epcot, you know, 365 days. Okay, maybe not, but very close to that many days of festivals. So, like, right now, you have Festival of the Arts going on. And it was some very beautiful culinary delights that you can enjoy for that. Then once that wraps up, you're going into Epcot's International Flower and Garden Festival and spring and summer type foods. And then once that wraps up, then you're headed right into Epcot's International Food and Wine Festival, which takes place for nearly 6 months. And then wrapping that up, you head right into Festival of the Holidays with all the Christmas treats and holiday deliciousness. So, I mean, you've got something pretty much going on with the festival. And all of them bring something unique when it comes to food based on the time of year.
I dig it the most. Food, shopping, experiences, special presentations. They've got it all. And it's all educational, but so entertaining and so much fun. Last but not least for me, we go back to Animal Kingdom and we always go on Kilimanjaro Safari. It's no matter how cheesy people might think it is, we love animals and I love the look on Boo and Jack Jack, our kids. Those are our kids' nicknames here on the show, Boo and Jack Jack. And the look on their faces looking at these animals they can only see on TV. Oh, wow. That's a real lion. Or, wow, that's an elephant.
That's a big elephant.
Or, you know, this is a, you know, crocodile or whatever. They could see it up close. We can see it up close with them. And it's really, really fun. And that is a must do for us every single time we go to the park. So there you have it. There is our list. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? I can't believe it. Can't believe we're done with it. It's crazy, right?
It's crazy.
Second to last show. Thank you, guys and gals, for joining us on this awesome show. We do appreciate it. It's kind of a look back at some of our favorite things from the Walt Disney World Resort that we absolutely love. And we love you for sticking with us for all these years. Next week, we're going to have an amazing show as we look back on all the shows that we've had from WDW Tiki Room from November of 2009.
Yes.
I think that's when we started.
Yes.
And all the way to now. And it's just been a really great time. If we look back, there's so many great moments. And we're going to try to queue up a few of those moments for you. So enjoy this episode. Thank you so much. Once again, we're not leaving podcast space, but we'll probably leave this show behind and press pause on it for a pretty long time. But we are going to be doing some other things with this account. So please follow us on all of our social media. We would appreciate it. We've got Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and our huge Twitter audience. Thank you so much. And then you can follow me, AlJonGo, on Instagram. And Kristen, where can people follow you and email you about having you book their next Disney trips, etc.?
As far as vacation planning, whether it's Disney, Universal, Orlando, or any of the cruise lines, you can email me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com. And if you are all about Disney and food, which a lot of people are, then check out Dining at Disney on your favorite social media platforms, as well as the Dining at Disney podcast that I co-host with AlJon, Kat, and Bubba.
Don't forget to also check out Skull Rock Podcast with myself and former Disney Creative Director of Special Projects, animator, and award-winning author David Bossert. Check it out every single week as we go behind the scenes of some of your favorite Disney films and attractions. All right. Having said that, thank you. Check us out on Sorcerer Radio and srsounds.com. Thank you to the Sorcerer Radio community, the Disney dorks, and everybody that supports this show. And in the meantime, till next week in our final episode, I'm AlJon.
And I'm Kristen.
And we'll see you real soon.
The information and opinions expressed in this podcast are for entertainment and informational purposes. All other trademarks mentioned are the property of their respective owners.
I'm Kristen Hetzel, co-host of Dining at Disney podcast. Every week, I chat about dining at Disneyland and Walt Disney World Resort and Disney Cruise Line with my fellow foodie, Bubba. We also feature restaurants and food reviews, information to help you plan your dining, Disney food news, recipes, and a monthly panel discussion. Visit diningatdisney.com and subscribe to Dining at Disney podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or your favorite podcast platform. Dining at Disney podcast, the happiest plate on earth.